Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I am Cy Kellett, your host. And we're talking about preparing for Lent this hour. I don't know if you face Lent with joy or dread or a combination thereof. Certainly, it is the best known of the Catholic seasons, probably better known than Advent or the Easter season, because even people who are not Catholic know about the idea of giving up something for Lent. Our guest this hour is theologian, author, and well-known Catholic speaker, Dr. Edward Sree. Dr. Sree has written several best-selling books, including A Biblical Walk Through the Mass, Walking with Mary, and Who Am I to Judge? Responding to Relativism with Logic and Love. His latest book is Into His Likeness, Be Transformed as a Disciple. Dr. Sree is also the host of the film series Symbolon, The Catholic Faith Explained, which you may have caught on EW10. Maybe you did that program in your parish. He's one of the founding leaders with Curtis Martin of FOCUS, the Fellowship of Catholic University Students, where he currently serves as the Vice President of Formation. And do we have Dr. Sree with us? Oh, all right. We are a minute away from Dr. Sree. So that allows me this opportunity to do what I forgot to do when Carlo was here. I forgot to tell you about Carlo's appearances coming up in Texas with – it won't be just Carlo. Tim Staples, Trent Horn, they're going to be speaking at the Fullness of Truth conferences, which this year are being put on in cooperation with us here at Catholic Answers. On March 29th and 30th, they will be at Prince of Peace Catholic Church in San Antonio, Texas. And on May 10th and 11th, they will be at Good Shepherd Catholic Community in Colleyville, Texas. Go to fullnessoftruth.org for more information. Dr. Sree, thanks for being with us.
Thanks so much for having me.
So this Lenten season of which we have spoken – is it all about giving something up? What's the idea here? And if it is all about giving something up, then what is that supposed to do for me?
Yeah, well, first of all, I would say it's not about always just giving something up.
Okay.
As my spiritual director often says, you know, it's also about doing something positively. You know, maybe you're doing extra devotions and you're going to make an effort to be kinder to someone or to serve. You know, so there's like a twofold thing we can do. Of denying yourself in something, you're giving up chocolate or you're making some kind of sacrifice, but then you're also doing something positive too to help you grow in love. But I think that's the essence of the Lenten season. It's all really about helping us to be more conformed to Jesus and his love, which is seen most particularly in his passion and in his death. St. John Paul II once said that when you look at the passion of Christ, you see the fullness of God's revelation of love for us. So all the Bible tells us about God's love, but most especially right here in all those accounts of Christ's passion. But it also reveals to us what we're made for. We're made for love, and not a romantic love, a Hollywood love, all that's fine, but we're ultimately made for a great love, which is giving yourself completely to God and to others, and that's where we find our fulfillment. And the model that we find of this most amazing love is Jesus himself and his passion. So really, Lent is all about how do I allow Christ's passion to live in me, to live through me, so that I can live the kind of sacrificial love and patience and forgiveness and mercy that he lived in my family, in my workplace, in my friends. How can I be generous and giving of my life to others like he did for us on the cross? That's really what Lent's all about, which we should do all throughout the year, but Lent is a special time to get us to be more focused, to grow deeper and take those next steps in our relationship with our Lord.
If you have questions for Dr. Edward Sree about preparing for Lent, give us a call, 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. I suppose my habit then has been to think of Lent as a time for detachment, but you're saying it's a time for attachment or to God.
Oh, but certainly. I think what you were saying, all about the attachment, all about giving things up, that's certainly a key part of it. It's just that, why am I giving something up? It's not about like, well, I had a really good Lent if I could just give up more things. If I give up lots of chocolate, and lots of sweets, and lots of steak, you know, those are just like means. You know, St. Catherine of Siena is beautiful when she talks about like sacrifices and mortifications and devotions we do. Think of them as more about creating space in my soul to encounter God more, to give more of myself to Him, and to receive His love. That's really what this is all about. So I might make little sacrifices to deny myself. I train my will so that I can, you know, again, give more love to God and to others in my life. But but the end is love. It's not about what sacrifices I made in and of themselves.
Okay, so I have to admit that I find myself on Ash Wednesday thinking, I didn't prepare as well as I want. I'm not sure if I'm ready for Lent because
well, you're probably doing better than most. Many people, it's like the second, you know, the first Sunday of Lent, they're getting there. Oh, I got to get my game plan together.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, I work in Catholic media, so I get a little heads up. You know, I get a memo from EWTN. Don't forget Ash Wednesday today. So, so what do you mean by preparing for Lent? What prepare how for the coming season of Lent?
Yeah, let me tell you. I'm very glad you asked that because I can say many times when Advent or Lent comes around, I'm like you. It's Ash Wednesday. I show up. I get my ashes. I'm like, I don't have a game plan. I know it's Lent. I know it's important. This is the special season of the year, and I just feel like I'm letting Jesus down. I have to admit, I've made that mistake many times in my life.
Yeah.
Thankfully, this year, maybe it's because I knew you'd be calling today. I in my prayer life this morning, I'll say this is what I did, and we've got like, you know, 5 days here before Ash Wednesday, so there's time to get ready. You can't just walk into Lent. Like, you can't just walk into your wedding day. You have preparation for that day, right? This is a great season to encounter Jesus more than any other time of the year. Let's get ready for it. Let's use these next couple of days to prepare our hearts. So this morning in prayer, I just spent a lot of time just talking to Jesus and thinking about my life and saying, Jesus, what are the ways I need to be growing? You know, what are the things, you know, I think you're challenging me too. And I've been kind of thinking about that in prayer a little bit, you know, different times over the last week or so. But today, my whole prayer time was dedicated. So I recommend that. Just take some time out for some prayer to talk to Jesus and take time to listen. Really listen and sense, what might He be wanting you to do? And, you know, for example, in my life, I sensed over the last, you know, 2 weeks, particularly getting this new book project out, this video project out, I've just been racing, and it's been like every spare moment, just trying to get every little thing done. And I sense Jesus wants me just to take some time to be still and to be with Him. So one of the things I'm planning on doing is just part of my Lenten devotion, in addition to giving up some things, is going to be taking some extra time for prayer, but not when I'm reading something or not like I'm doing a devotion, but just some quiet time in front of the Blessed Sacrament, to just be in His presence and listen. I think that's something for me that He needs, and it's going to be different for everybody else. You know, I think there's some things with my family, and you know, I've got two teenagers, and one of them's getting ready to go off to college, and I'm kind of sensing Jesus really wants me to make sure that that's my vocation. That's more important than any book or any class I teach. And, you know, so I there's a couple things I want to do to really give attention to my older children in this Lenten season. So, yes, am I going to give up some things and make little sacrifices? Of course I'm going to do that too. But I think there's some spiritual things God wants to work in my soul, and it's going to be different for everyone. But taking that time to prepare in the next few days is one of the most important things you could do to have a great Lent.
Preparing for Lent is our topic this hour. If you have questions about the season of Lent, Dr. Edward Sree is here with us to answer those questions. 888-318-7884 is the number. But I imagine that not just Catholics or Orthodox celebrate Lent. There are Protestant people celebrate Lent as well in some cases. Is that right?
Yeah, some of them do, you know, particularly maybe those that are more of Anglican, Episcopalian background. You got some of the Lutherans do this as well. This is, you know, out there. You know, and then you'd have, I'll be honest, I've seen some non-denominational evangelicals who normally aren't very liturgical.
Right.
Kind of, they're fascinated by this whole Lent thing.
Yeah.
And they get into it, you know, in ways that some Catholics, I wish, got into it, you know, and it's kind of funny to see that from them. But what they're seeing is this idea of having a special time to go deeper with Jesus, having a special time to enter into it, to think about His passion more. They see that, you know, we do this in natural life. We have birthdays and we have anniversaries where we celebrate something that is important every day of the year, but we really remember a kid's birthday on their birthday, and you celebrate your marriage in a special way on the anniversary. What a great thing it is that the church gives us this season to remember all that Jesus did for us in His passion and death.
I thought you said Earth Day. I didn't. So I was like, Earth Day? Wow, that's an interesting reference.
That's a different kind of celebration.
Yeah, yeah, right. I ask that in part because I always like to welcome non-Catholic callers. You're welcome to call and ask about what it is we do at Lent, why we do the things we do at Lent. Give us a call, 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. All about preparing for Lent this hour with Dr. Edward Sree. We'll be right back with more of that and your calls right after this on Catholic Answers Live.
We're waiting for your call. Grab that line and get on board.
Catholic Answers Live is proudly supported by CatholicChemistry.com, a new dating site for Catholics who want to do dating right and believe relationships start with Catholic chemistry. Catholic Answers Live thanks CatholicChemistry.com for their generous support on the web at CatholicChemistry.com.
Do you want to end abortion, halt the attack on traditional marriage, and ensure religious freedom for ourselves and for our grandchildren? To do this, we must convert the culture. St. Paul Street Evangelization is a grassroots initiative that recognizes this need and takes it to the streets. If you're interested in peacefully sharing the gospel in your area, visit streetevangelization.com to learn more.
The wisdom of Mother Angelica.
Now, when Jesus was on earth, he taught us a great lesson. He taught us that he came for the sinner, not the virtuous. He came for you because you are imperfect, because sin comes easy to you, and sometimes you don't have the willpower to say no.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
A generation ago, Christian parents didn't have to worry about how to explain transgenderism to their 9-year-old children or help their teenager deal with mockery at school for believing in traditional marriage. But today, as our culture decays, we have to know how to talk to our children about these issues. In Made This Way, How to Prepare Kids to Face Today's Tough Moral Issues, Layla Miller and Trent Horn give parents the crucial tools and techniques to form children with the understanding they need, appropriate to their age and maturity level, to meet the world's challenges. If we're not teaching our children how to understand tough moral issues, then the world will. Read Made This Way and learn how to give your kids a firm foundation on which to build a life of moral clarity and happiness. Order your copy of Made This Way today by calling 1-888-291-8000 or logging onto the shop at Catholic.com.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Dr. Edward Sree, our guest, and we are talking about Lent, particularly about preparing for Lent. If you have questions about the Lenten season, if you'd like some advice and help on preparing for Lent, give us a call, 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. Dr. Sree, I imagine there are some people who, for whom even the advice that you gave before about sit in prayer and ask Jesus about what he is asking from you this Lent will come as something of a confusing statement. Like, how do I listen to Jesus? I think that's a very common prayer, actually. I mean, a question about prayer. I know how to recite the rosary or pray the Our Father, but I don't know how to listen to what God is saying back to me.
Yeah, I think, you know, part of it is making sure that you have some time. Like, if you just are driving by and you're listening and, you know, oh, okay, I was just going to listen, but I've never done this prayer thing before, you know, that's a good thing. Just try it. You know, it's wonderful, but I think it comes over time, where you are, maybe it's not just sitting quietly and listening, but maybe you do have a scripture passage and you kind of feed your mind with that passage. You read a little scene and from the Gospels, maybe from the life of Jesus, but you don't read the whole thing. Just read a couple lines and then pause. And then hear those words, maybe read them again and think about them. Think about, well, how do these words maybe relate to me? Maybe put yourself in the scene. Imagine like you're there at the wedding at Cana, or you're there when Jesus is healing the leper, and the leper is going up to Jesus and begging, you know, Lord, if you will, make me clean. And what's something we would want to beg Jesus for? Lord, if you will, help me in this crazy situation in my work environment right now, or help me, you know, with the situation with one of my family members, or help me because I've got this big health problem. And you put, you imagine being the man in the Bible story, and imagine what would Jesus say to you, you know, and it's quietly taking that time and really thinking about, you know, what do these words mean for me right now? So if you've never done it before, certainly taking a text like Scripture, it could be something from the saints or some other devotion, but those things can help feed your conversation with the Lord. And then for those who have, you know, if you're praying regularly, then taking that time to sometimes put the Bible down or put that devotional book down or the rosary beads down, as you mentioned, Si, you know, and actually just sit in quiet. This is one of the, you know, one of the great things St. Teresa of Avila says, you know, what is prayer? It's like two friends talking, you know, or it's two friends that are very close to each other. And they may not necessarily, it's not like you're hearing voices or getting visions, you know, but it's just, you kind of sometimes just get this sense. You just kind of get a sense like I did in prayer today, sensing, I think Jesus really wants me to have a season of just slowing down and being with him. Again, no visions, no voices there. It was just kind of this deeper sense in my heart. And I'm not going to just run with that. I'm going to talk about it with my spiritual director. I'm going to maybe talk with my priest about it and just say, hey, I'm thinking this in prayer. I'm sensing this, what God wants. What do you think? But I think those are some good first steps we can do in trying to take that time to listen to the Word of God.
888-318-7884 is the number here, 888-318-7884. We're talking about preparing for Lent. We go now to John in San Antonio, Texas, listening on Guadalupe Radio. John, your question for Dr. Edward Sri.
Yeah, can you hear me?
We can, John, yes.
Okay, I was on my headless set. My question is, I am a Southern Baptist. My girlfriend is a very devout Catholic. In the past 2 months, I've been coming to the grips of maybe switching to the Catholicism, becoming Catholic. But my question is right now, how do I help her prepare to have a wonderful Lent season? Because I know it's important to her. Her faith is very important to her. I am impressed by that. So how do I help her to prepare for that?
Great question, and what a good man you are, wanting to help your girlfriend and help her to experience a good Lent. So God bless you for that. You know, one thing I would say is maybe even, you know, I don't know if Lent is something that might be of interest to you. You know, maybe you're listening to the show, you could ask her more about Lent. And part of it is maybe there's something you two could do together. You know, maybe it's just simply, hey, we're going to be committed to have some time, little extra time for prayer each day. And that's something you could do with her. Or you can, or even if you're not in the same city or, you know, not in the same area, you can pray and she can pray, but you're both committed to doing something together. That is a wonderful thing. Certainly couples can do together, dating couples, married couples, and that could support her, certainly. I think also even asking her, hey, what are you thinking? You know, tell me more about what you've done in the past. And what are you thinking about this Lent? Oftentimes, many Catholics, we fall into the trap of what Si talked about earlier, just, we're racing and racing, and ultimately show up at Ash Wednesday, and it's like Lent started, and you know, it's kind of like when I coached my kids' soccer team, and if you know, they just didn't get to do any warm-ups, and they just went out on the field, they were rusty, they weren't energized, and we would get killed in the first 5 minutes. We don't want that to happen in Lent. We want to kind of do the training, you know, and the warm-ups and getting ready, and you know, and simply talking to her about it could also be a great thing to do to support it. Maybe there's something you two could give up together. Maybe there's something like you like watching a certain show in Lent, or maybe you really like having, you know, you go to a certain restaurant every week, you know, but maybe in this Lent you say, well, maybe we'll give up that show, or maybe we'll together give up that favorite restaurant or that favorite food or drink or whatever it is. Those are little things you could actually do together, and that could really support and encourage her.
What do you think?
Well, we're 50 years old. Since I've gotten down here, we don't watch TV anymore. But I can tell you what we've been doing every evening is we sit at the table after our supper, and I've been reading the Catholic Bible, not my King James Version. And so I started by reading the new books that are, I guess not new books, the book that I had never heard of in the Bible. So we've been reading through all that, and we pray every day. So, I mean, we're doing all that stuff. I'm guessing we could also give up something, but I guess we could get a game plan and figure out how we want to I don't know if attack, Lent is the right word, or, go about preparing for it, I mean, this is all new to me, but I'm finding it very fascinating, and it's challenging my faith is what I'm finding by listening to her talk, because she'll answer any question that I have, and she's very knowledgeable on y'all's faith.
Dr. Street?
Yeah, let me tell you, here's something else I think that you could do, and this is good for all of us to be thinking about. When Jesus talks about, like, the three biggest practices that you can do for being living the Christian life, he talks about prayer, he talks about fasting, but he also talks about almsgiving, which is caring for the poor, whether it's giving money to the poor or actually doing something to care for those who are suffering. So maybe, you're already praying together, keep doing it. Maybe you do a little extra prayer, maybe there's something you can give up, maybe think about that. Is there some food or entertainment or just fun thing you like? Maybe it's just, I don't know what that is. It could be different for everyone, but there's something we can always give up. But a really big thing that's important, throughout the season of Lent that always comes out is almsgiving. And that's something for us to think about, for a couple to come together and go and serve someone, maybe it's visiting an elderly relative that doesn't get a lot of visits. Maybe it's serving at a soup kitchen. Maybe it's being a little more generous, making financial sacrificial gifts. You already give money to serve the poor or to serve your church, but maybe you're going to give a gift that's going to hurt a little bit. it's a little more generous than you've been in the past. That's a wonderful, that's actually one of the things Jesus says is one of the most amazing things is when people actually are very generous sacrificially and caring for the poor because they're encountering him in the poor and the suffering.
Okay, John.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Thank you, guys.
Thank you. It's a great pleasure to talk with you. I really appreciate it. I hope you'll call us again.
Oh, I definitely will. I've been listening. I'm getting hooked on you guys. So I think my heart is ready. I just have some more questions I think my head needs answered.
Oh, fair enough. Well, Tuesdays and Thursdays are open forum. So any question comes up, just call us on a Tuesday or Thursday, and there'll be somebody here to answer that question. John, you are making me happy today. 888-318-7884, the number 888-318-7884. Dr. Edward Sree is our guest, and our topic is preparing for Lent. Didn't want to go on the air, but a caller from St. Louis, Missouri, listening on Covenant Network Radio asked two questions. First, what dietary substitute can a vegetarian give up instead of meat? And two, fasting in the Bible meant not eating. When did the meaning of fasting change? Because now we're allowed to eat on fasting days. So how about the first one, what to give up instead of meat if you're already a vegetarian? And then why is fasting so mild, I guess, would be a way to put it, in the Catholic Church?
Yeah, in the world today. Well, let's say, I'll take that first one there. So someone who's a vegetarian, in my life, I love eating meat and things. So that's already a major sacrifice in my eyes.
Right.
But I think there might maybe there's some particular dish that you like to eat that and you're just gonna say I'm just gonna give that up. Many people would go back in the medieval periods. Many monks would just have just bread and water for so long, and they barely had lots of. Or maybe you give up like a certain meal, like on when it's good. It's a Friday in Lent. You're supposed to give up meat. Everyone's already doing that. Or you're already doing that as a vegetarian. But maybe it's saying, I'm not going to eat breakfast that day, or I'm not going to eat lunch that day, or, again, I'm not going to eat as much that day, or I'm not going to eat my favorite kind of vegetarian dish, whatever that might be. So there's always ways that you can increase the sacrifice, to enter into the Lenten spirit. In terms of, the softening of Lent over the years, there's a great liturgical theologian I read years ago who just talked about how the really hardcore Lent that was experienced in the early days of the church, and then they started introducing things like, maybe because you're working in the fields, we'll let you have a meal. And then they said, well, because you're working so hard, we'll let you have, a beer at the end of the day. Or so, they just kind of like.
Oh, I like that reform.
This goes back over 1,000 years of kind of a softening that has taken place. And you could look at it as softening. Another way of looking at it is maybe on the positive end. Today, the church really in this secular world we're living in, I think the church is recognizing there are many Catholics that are living in a very secular environment. And there just isn't a lot of support for living truly the Catholic faith around them. And so they know that a lot of Catholics just aren't used to the ways of doing fasting in the past. And so have there been some accommodations to meet people where they're at so that they can still enter into Lent in spirit, not completely forego it altogether? Because if right now you said, we're going to go live Lent like the monks did in the year 800 AD, you know, everyone's just saying, I'm checking out. They're not going to do anything, right? And so isn't it good at least that, you know, now, you know, while it's not as intensive as it used to be, the church is still calling us to make many sacrifices, to conform our lives to Christ with prayer, fasting, and almsgiving.
Dr. Edward Sree is our guest. I will let you know, Mary on Facebook suggested that our vegetarian questioner eat meat on Fridays during Lent. I don't know if that one's going to work, but it's a thought. We're talking about preparing for Lent with Dr. Sree. Give us a call if you have a question about Lent. 888-318-7884.
Catholic Answers Live.
Is the church wrong on contraception? In a culture that worships the pursuit of sexual pleasure, the Catholic Church's teaching on contraception can seem archaic and unintelligible. Its critics say it's outdated, theologically unfounded, and even harmful. And even faithful Catholics can have difficulty explaining this moral teaching. Catholic Answers is out to change all of that. That's why we've just released Trent Horn's dynamic new DVD, The Case Against Contraception. Using scripture, papal and magisterial teachings, natural law, and new insights provided by social science and medicine, Trent puts forward a compelling case for Catholic teachings with his trademark charity and persuasive graciousness. Be prepared to give a defense. Order your copy of The Case Against Contraception today by calling 1-888-291-8000, logging on to the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Author Mark McNeil spent years in the Oneness Pentecostal movement, praying in its lively services, zealously spreading its unconventional teachings, and rejecting mainstream Christianity as misguided. Then he left it all behind. All in the Name is the story of a man who believed he was among an elite group of believers who followed the true faith when so many others had strayed. But an inquisitive mind, careful study, and the action of the Holy Spirit finally led Mark out of Oneness Pentecostalism and into the Catholic Church. This is an inspiring conversion story you won't want to miss. It's a faith strengthener for Catholics and an intriguing challenge to those who deny the doctrine of the Trinity. Order your copy of All in the Name today by calling 1-888-291-8000, logging on to the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
What type of music really touches your heart?
We want to hear how music enhances your journey on Monday's Take Two with Jerry and Debbie at noon Eastern.
Now, we return to Cy Kellett and Catholic Answers Live.
Preparing for Lent is our topic this hour. If you'd like help preparing for Lent, or if you'd like an explanation of any of the aspects of Lent. Why do we do that? Why do we believe that? Why do we act that way during Lent? Give us a call, 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. Dr. Edward Sree is our guest. Dr. Sree is a theologian, author, and speaker. And among his books, A Biblical Walk Through the Mass, Walking with Mary, Who Am I to Judge? Responding to Relativism with Logic and Love. And I think it's his latest. Is your latest book, Into His Likeness, Be Transformed as a Disciple? Or is there another one since then?
Well, I've actually had a couple books since then, one on Mary, one on Blumber, but the one we're kind of been talking about is this new one I had out this last week, all on our topic related to Lent. It's called No Greater Love, A Biblical Walk Through Christ's Passion. So that has just come out in the last week, and I'm so excited that it's available to help people with their Lenten devotions.
No Greater Love, A Biblical Walk Through Christ's Passion. Dr. Edward Sree, our guest. The way there's a little technical something. Nick, what do you want to do? You're going to...
Yep.
All right. Well, so we'll switch. We got to make
the phone here. Do you hear me there?
There it is. Yeah, you sound great.
You got me?
Yeah, gotcha.
All right.
Again, 888-318-7884, the number you are listening to Catholic Answers. A caller, interlocutor on Facebook, Margot, asks about what to do if you're scrupulous. She asked specifically about the three meals on Ash Wednesday, but isn't scrupulosity kind of just Lent is the perfect time for the scrupulous to run into trouble?
It is, because you're so worried, did I mess up? Did I make a mistake? And so, you know, God bless people that struggle with that, you know, and even to just take that to prayer and take that into spiritual direction or to confession. And Jesus, I struggle with scrupulosity. I know that this isn't good. It's not good for me. And so I'm going to try my best not to be too anxious about it. One great thing with the scrupulous person is if there's a priest, a spiritual director they trust, is to entrust their lives to them. The spiritual director will just say, it's fine. Go eat that meal. It's really okay. And then you have to be obedient, you know, and God's going to look kindly upon your obedience to your priest, your spiritual director. Yeah, I realize there's some cases where maybe there's, you know, not trustworthy one, you know, but, you know, we all have people in our areas that we could find that we know they're Orthodox or faithful, and let them guide us, and then submit yourself to it and go, I'm going to be tempted to be worried. Did I break my Lenten commitment? Did I eat too much or whatever? But well, my spiritual director said this is fine, and go with it. That's a great freedom. There's a great sacrifice involved even in that, in having the personal certitude. Am I doing it the right way? By trusting yourself to the one that God has entrusted to, you know, over you as a spiritual director or as your pastor.
Thanks, Margo, for that question. 888-318-7884 is the number. We go now to Simon in Duluth, Minnesota. Simon, thanks so much for your call. Your question for Dr. Edward Sree.
Yes. Well, I have like two parts. So the first one is like, what is the history behind fish not being considered a meat? And the second one is, you know, to live, to be kind of more like Christ-like. I'm part of like a secular service organization that does like a lot of help with like older people. Could that be a way, taking part more in that during Lent, can that be a way to be more Christ-like by helping, you know, doing more stuff with them to help older people?
Yes, let me tackle that second one. I'm honestly not as clear on the exact history of how fish and all came together, but your second question is very much on our point of discussion about how do I prepare for Lent. And as I mentioned with a couple calls ago, there was someone that asked about like what we can do. Almsgiving really is not something I think many Catholics have as a go-to for their Lenten devotions. They're very good at thinking about what am I going to give up? And then they're maybe good at thinking about, oh, I should do some extra kind of prayer or devotion. And then if they think about almsgiving, they tend to think about it as maybe I'll write an extra check or I'll throw a little more money in the basket. You know, Pope Francis had a great line in his first year of his, or actually I think it was before he was even Pope. He said something like this, you know, the real question is, do you encounter the poor or the elderly or the immigrant or the people who are suffering? It's not enough just to throw money at them. It's not enough to go send them a check. It's not enough just to kind of like, you know, here, take this gift card or whatever, you know, those are good things. But do we actually spend time with them? And what you're talking about is beautiful. So the idea of caring for those that are elderly, those that may be very lonely, those that are suffering in their life. There's a great group here in Denver, Colorado, called Christ in the City. And it's young people that they take a gap year in college, or maybe they're recent college graduates, and they go out on the streets of Denver and they serve the poor. And it's these amazing young people. But what they do is they go out and they don't just give them blankets and food and money. They do that, but they have some days each week where they go out on the streets with nothing. But you know what they do? They give the poor something the poor are desperately longing for that no social service agency or many other Christian groups even don't give them, and that's friendship. They just go and they talk to them. They get to know them. They're not there to hand out stuff on those days. They're there just to love them, and they call them my friends. And it's been amazing. I've met people in downtown Denver when my wife and I go out for dinner, and sometimes we'll walk the streets and we meet a poor person. I'll go talk to them. And I remember this one poor person I asked a couple years ago, and I just said, oh, have you heard about Christ in the City, that group? He goes, oh, I love those kids. They're my friends.
Oh, how beautiful.
And his eyes lit up. And because it was friendship that was being offered, not easy to offer a check, some coins, some extra dollar bills. It's a lot harder to give of your very self. And that was a wonderful thing. And so what you're doing something similar, you know, with the elderly. I think that's a wonderful thing. One last point on this and why I think this is so important to try to think of something like this to incorporate into our Lenten journey is Pope Benedict said, you know, when we care for the poor in this way, there's two changes that happen. We change the world for the poor person. They get some money, they get some food, they get a blanket, they get some friendship. That's a great thing for the poor person. But something also changes inside of us. What happens is we become more like Jesus. We grow in love, in a generous love like he has. And that's what Lent is all about. So it's not about all the things you just necessarily do. It's about doing things so that our hearts become changed, so that we can love more. If we all can keep that in mind, no matter what we end up doing in terms of our own personal Lenten commitments, if we keep in mind that what is the goal? Those little devotions, those little sacrifices are just instruments. They're instruments to lead to the ultimate goal of us becoming more like Jesus and taking on his heart.
How's that for you, Simon?
That's really great. And, oh, one other thing. Does hard cider count as a beer?
I don't know. Is there a commission that decides on these? How would we know if hard cider counts as a beer?
I think John Paul II wrote an encyclical about that.
the famous.
You know, these are one of those things. Don't be scrupulous. You know, you decide. The key thing is you decide ahead of time. You know, am I going to count that as a beer or not? You know, there's some alcohol content in it, not like a beer itself. But I think the biggest thing is when we go into Lent. If you've ever done this, I'm going to give this up, and then there's a gray area.
What
we tend to do when there's a gray area is go, oh, well, I guess I can have it. So if you decide ahead of time, you know, I'm going to let myself have the cider, then just go for it, okay? If you decide, no, I'm not going to do it, then when you're presented with your favorite cider, be faithful to your commitment, whatever you do. That's why it's important to have a game plan going in.
It's like giving up television for Lent. Nowadays, if you give up television for Lent, then you're like, well, does YouTube count? Or, you know, like there's so many...
there's Netflix and Hulu.
Yeah, right.
I can watch Catholic Answers live on video sometimes too, right?
I don't know if they have this where you are, but here in California at the gas pumps, a TV will come on when you're pumping your gas. So then you're like, oh man, I gave this up for Lent and I can't even get away from it. Fortunately, gas pump TV is not really good TV, so you can just look away. Simon, thanks very much for the call. Patricia in Fargo, North Dakota, listening on Real Presence Radio. You are next. Your question for Dr. Edward Sree. Patricia, have we got you there?
Yeah.
Hi, you have a question for Dr. Sree?
Yes, I do. Thank you for taking my call.
Happy to.
I've been talking to people about Lent recently, and a lot of what I hear is people giving up chocolate or giving up tangible things. And I just wonder... about attitude change and maybe giving up cursing. And even on the program today, I've heard a lot about giving up TV or giving up some food item. And what about the non-tangible things that we might give up during Lent?
Oh, beautiful question, Patricia. I think that is, I'm really glad you brought that up because, yeah, I do think doing the physical things is important because it does help us. It trains our will, you know, and we are making the physical sacrifice. We are bodily creatures. So that's a good thing. But even more, again, what are we trying to do? We're trying to change our will so we can love more, to be more like Jesus. And so what you're describing is changing habits. Like, let's say you know that you lose your temper a lot, then really go after that this Lent and just say, I'm going to make a commitment. I'm going to, you know, give it my all. And you might stumble, you might make mistakes, but the fact that you're giving it extra effort, extra attention is a great thing. Or maybe you struggle, maybe you don't like commit adultery or look at pornography, but you struggle in, you know, in lustful thoughts and lustful glances. And you just say, I'm going to deny my eyes. I'm going to really work on that. Or maybe, you know, it's something like, I'm going to do one kind deed for my spouse each day. And it's something maybe she doesn't know I'm doing, but I'm just going to help out with this one little thing in the house or whatever it is. I'm just going to try to do some act of love for this person. That's a good thing to do. There are many things that we can deny ourselves with that have nothing to do with food and candy and drink, but has to do with denying our own will and changing us. Or maybe it's something like, when I'm not going to complain. I tend to be a complainer. I tend to be a whiner. I'm not going to allow myself when it's really cold to complain, or when all of a sudden we have to do more work in the office than I was expecting that day. I'm going to just force myself not to grumble and complain like I tend to do. These are actually getting much closer, right, to what Lent is really all about, because it's all about growing and imitating Jesus more. So, Patricia, I'm really glad you asked that question. I think that can give the listeners some great things to contemplate this Lent.
Thanks, Patricia.
Yeah, thank you.
And a blessed Lent to you too, Patricia. That's what it just occurred to me that I should wish people a blessed Lent. They call about Lent, and I'm going to be smarter in Lent. I don't know if I can do that, but I'm going to try to be smarter in Lent. In Lent, you can learn a lot in Lent if you take up the 20 Answers Challenge. We've got 32 20 Answers books here at Catholic Answers. And when you get them all, they're 60% off, and the shipping is free to you. If you read those through Lent and the Easter season, you will get quite an education in the Catholic faith. Just go to shop.catholic.com, and you can get that deal, 60% off, right now with free shipping. And don't forget about Dr. Edward Sree's brand new book, No Greater Love, A Biblical Walk Through Christ's Passion. There's also a beautiful piece of Lenten reading. Right back with more on how to prepare for Lent with Dr. Edward Sree, our guest, right after this on Catholic Answers Live.
We're glad you're with us. Stick around for more Catholic Answers Live.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects homebuyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
Homeschool Connections, an online provider of courses for your Catholic homeschool, is a sponsor of Catholic Answers Live. Homeschool Connections website is homeschoolconnections.com.
EWTN, communicating the faith.
Falling away Catholic years and years ago, doing my own thing, and my mom and dad never gave up on me, and I know it was the Holy Rosary, and they kept after me, Philip, pray your rosary, and eventually I did. I'm a member of the Knights of the Immaculata, Maximilian Kolbe's group. I'm with the Legion of Mary, and I haven't stopped leading the rosary in nursing homes, thanks be to God.
EWTN, live truth, live Catholic.
Preparing for Lent, our topic this hour, our guest, Dr. Edward Sree, the No Greater Love, is that shipping now? It's a study, a five-part video series. You get the full-length book, and you walk with Jesus through his passion, what was happening at each moment of the passion, what the kind of biblical background is for each part of Christ's passion. Someone was just saying on Facebook, they're going to do the study in their parish. And if you order it right now from Ascension Press, can you get it in time to do it for Lent in your parish?
Yeah, you can. Yeah,
okay.
In fact, it was a great experience. We filmed in Jerusalem, so people can see all of the sites where all the passion unfolded, right where Jesus agonized in the garden, where he was betrayed. You can see the olive trees, and you can see where he was crucified. You see where he was on trial before Pilate's house. So, yeah, so it's a five-part video study. They can watch the trailer at ascensionpress.com. They can get it in time. It'll come. It'll arrive to them. They sold all of the copies in the original printing, and so there was such a great response. They're having it available for next week so it can get to people by the first full week. The first full week of Lent, it'll get to them.
Fantastic. I think that might have been what the reference was there on Facebook. Yeah, the message is now you will get it. But congratulations on, and I'm very happy for you and for those who will do the study that this has been so popular. I think you have a very special way, Dr. Sree, of putting things into terms that are understandable and spiritually helpful for people. So have people walking through Christ's passion with you and with all the other people who helped you make the video and the book. Congratulations. And as I said, I'm very happy for you. And ascensionpress.com is where you go to find out. If you just type in No Greater Love, Ascension Press, it'll come up on your Googler. But you can just go to ascensionpress.com and you will find it there. Next up, next caller is John in Denver, Colorado. John, your question for Dr. Edward Sree.
Hey, Dr. Sree. Your answer to the last question actually is a good segue to mine. What I was hoping to do was, I have a problem with having uncharitable thoughts towards certain types of people, like people that are pro-abortion. And I'm trying to figure out, you know, how I can turn that around.
Oh, well, thank you, John, my fellow Denverite here in Denver area. Thank you for your honesty and your humility just sharing that here on national radio. That's great. And you know, the fact that you are aware of that is already half the battle. There are many people that just go on and on, even good devout Christians that have uncharitable thoughts and they're not aware. You have an awareness that God's going to bless that. If you just take that to him, maybe go to the Adoration Chapel, you know, just go before the Blessed Sacrament and say, Jesus, this Lent, I really want to work on not having uncharitable thoughts. And I think one of the best things to do is when you have, you know, that person, maybe there's a certain family member, a certain coworker, or maybe it's like you hear something in the news about some politician or something happening in Congress or something happening in the Vatican and you're mad, you know, whatever it is, immediately say a prayer. And just say, Jesus, I don't know everything. I don't know everything about this person's background. I don't know what they're going through today. Maybe they're having a bad day. Maybe they don't really know what they're doing. And that's what Jesus said on the cross. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. And many times the devil allows us, this is a beautiful insight from St. Catherine of Siena, who said that many times the devil allows us to see someone's faults or see something bad they do, but not to see the whole story of their life. So that instead, like if you knew this person was suffering greatly and they were acting out of their own wounds and their own hurts from their childhood, or they were abused or whatever it is, and you just think, this is a coworker who just annoys me all the time. But if you understood their hurts, you would respond with greater compassion. But the devil doesn't let you see that. He just lets you see their annoying rough edges. And so to get you to be angry and judge them. So to pause and just say, Jesus, I don't know what's all going on there, but I just want to say a prayer for them. And I wish them well. I ask your blessings upon them. I pray that they may grow in love and grow closer to you. Don't do an angry prayer like, and I pray they repent of all their sins. You know, you know, if they really need repentance, we want that. But for you, it sounds like you just need to kind of tone down the angry thoughts and turn them more into compassion, patience, mercy, and love. And that's why you can just kind of turn the devil's temptations on its head and turn it to love.
Thanks, John. I'm going to keep moving. I hope that was helpful because I want to make sure I get to everybody before we got to close it up for the weekend here. Patsy in Houston, Texas, listening on Guadalupe Radio. You are up next. Your question for Dr. Edward Sree.
Hi. Yes, it isn't about Lent per se, but it has to do with fasting. When I grew up, of course, for a long, long time, we were to give up we were to give up meat on Friday, and that was under pain of sin at the time. And then they rescinded that, and we no longer have to do that. However, we were encouraged to give up something on Fridays in place of the required rule or law, but that is never emphasized. We're supposed to do something sacrificial on Fridays in honor of the crucifixion.
Amen.
Of Jesus, aren't we?
Yes.
I mean, I don't think that was just totally thrown out. I think it was supposed to.
No.
We were supposed to have a spirit of sacrifice on Fridays.
Dr. Sree?
Yeah, absolutely. Yes, you're right on. We're supposed to make some kind of sacrifice every Friday throughout the year to remember Christ's sacrifice on the cross. Absolutely. And sadly, that point hasn't been always preached from the pulpits or clearly taught and explained to people. But let's all do something, you know, and we are free to choose outside of Lent. We're free to choose whatever we want to do. During Lent, we're encouraged to do the giving up of meat. But, you know, maybe I'm giving up, again, a favorite drink. I'm giving up a meal. I'm giving up coffee. It could be whatever you want. But here's the one thing about giving up meat throughout the year, I think is a good thing to do because it is in our Catholic blood. It's in our heritage. It's kind of like, this is what the family's doing, you know, or, you know, when your favorite team is all wearing the same jersey and your family has a certain tradition, we do this on Christmas Eve. Let's do what's happening in the family of God, the church. And if we all give up meat together, I think that's ideal. We don't have to. If you want to give up something else, you're free to. But I think we should still be encouraged to think about that, just to do something in solidarity with our brothers and sisters in Christ.
Thanks very, very much. We appreciate that call, Patsy. Let's go to Ted in Illinois watching on YouTube Live. Ted, thanks for joining us on YouTube. Your question for Dr. Sri.
Hello, Dr. Sri. Thank you for everything you do. You've been helpful to my journey into the church. And my wife and I both joined the church last year. And so this is our first Lenten season that we are experiencing. And nobody in our family or really sphere of influence is Catholic at all. Some very devout Christians in our family, however. But I was just wondering what your take would be on what I know. That I know we will get questions and the whole Lent is traditions of men kind of thing. And how would you go about explaining Lent to fundamentalist Christians?
I would just say what we're trying to do is imitate Jesus and the Bible. Like, don't get into, like, you know, Catholic things so much. Like, use the language of Jesus and the Bible. So that's what this is all about. You love Jesus. You love the Bible. That's what Lent is all about. And so Jesus, you know, went out into the desert for 40 days to pray and to fast. And that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to have our own little Lenten experience with Jesus to grow closer to him. So we're going to choose like a 40-day devotion here to give some extra prayer, a little extra fasting like Jesus did. You know, I what are they going to say to that? You know, and you could say, like, you all do, like, don't you have devotional books and things, like you have, you know, 30 days to, you know, to freedom in Christ or something, you know, or a 40-day devotional for women. You know, they've got these little devotional books and things they do all the time on a regular basis. Just say, this is our Catholic way of doing it. We're trying to conform our lives more to Christ. Then they may start asking, well, then why do you have to do this and this and this? And you can say, because it's biblical, because the Bible calls us to fast, and we should fast all year round. I think that's where they often will go, is saying, well, aren't you supposed to do fasting all the time? It's not just a certain season. Say, yeah, of course. But you need certain seasons to get recalibrated, so to speak, or to get your focus back, to go a little deeper. And like I said earlier in the show, I talked about, like, should I be thankful for my children's birth every day of the year? I'm thankful for their life every day of the year. I pray for them. I'm thankful for them. But man, on their birthday and their baptism day, I give special thanks for them. I'm thankful for my wife, Beth, and our marriage of 20 years this year. I'm so excited about my wife. I'm grateful for that every day of the year. But man, on this anniversary, it's the 20th anniversary, we're going to have this July, and we're going to celebrate that to give special attention to that and give special thanks to the Lord. So that's what we're doing in the Lenten season, special attention to the devotions that Christ told us to practice and to imitate him more.
Does that help you, Ted?
It does. Thank you guys very much. God bless you both.
Well, God bless you. Welcome into the church. So this will be you entered the church at the last Easter season. So this will be the first Lent that you go through fully initiated in the Catholic Church?
Right. My wife and I had been baptized previously, so we kind of went through an RCIA program and came into the church towards the end of last year. But it is our first Lenten season, yes.
Well, God bless you in your first Lenten season. Thanks for the call. Thanks very, very much for the call. Dr. Edward Sri is our guest this hour. No Greater Love, A Biblical Walk Through Christ's Passion is his 5-part video series, full-length book, a study that you can do alone, but better with friends or with folks at the parish. And you can get that at ascensionpress.com, ascensionpress.com. Do you ever rest, Dr. Sri?
Well, I'm going to this Lent.
Oh, that's right.
About that.
Very good.
I love to write. I'm passionate about really just opening up the gospel and sharing it for people's lives. That's why I wanted to do this. I've been teaching on the Passion Narratives for 20 years. And, you know, these are stories we're so familiar with, right? We've heard them from our childhood. We hear them every Holy Week liturgy.
Right.
But I want to bring the reader into that to understand, like, every little word is just charged with so much meaning.
Right.
It reveals God's love for us. And so I just get excited about that. So that's why I write a lot, I think.
Well, I'm delighted you did it. And the video was shot in Jerusalem. You're going to be very happy you did. Go over to Ascension Press to take a look. No Greater Love, A Biblical Walk Through Christ's Passion. Dr. Edward Sri, thank you. It's always enlightening and helpful when you're here. And I mean that in the very best sense, helping us in our walk and our pilgrimage back to the house of the Father. Thank you, Dr. Sri.
Well, thank you for all you and Catholic Answers do for so many people as well. Thanks for having me. God bless.
You too. Bye-bye. Nick, how did we do this week? We did all right?
You did great.
Yeah, we did. Thank you for everything you do, Nick. Thank you, Marie. Hey, I just want to let you know, as we head off, a brand new Catholic.com website. Take a look at it. Go visit Catholic.com. It's very exciting what's going on over there. Jesus Christ is the light of the nations. We'll see you next time on Catholic Answers Live.